making the sun to shine, putting the stars in the sky for the flowers that bloom, the ocean so blue. Thank you, Lord, for the sparrows that sing, that make sweet melody, for the river that flows, the rain and the snow. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Just want to thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for me. Thank you, Lord. Just want to thank you, Lord. Just want to thank you, Lord, for making me whole, saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for my home and family, for the joy that you've given me, for the shoes on my feet, plenty to eat. Thank you, Lord, for the church where I worship and pray, for the freedom that I have today, for the spirit I feel, your presence so real. Thank you, Lord, for being a friend so dear, giving my sad heart cheer, for holding my hand when I could not stand. Thank you, Lord, for giving your life for me at the cross of Calvary, for taking my place, mercy and grace. Thank you, Lord. I just wanna thank you, Lord. I just wanna thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for me. Thank you, Lord. I just wanna thank you, Lord. Just wanna thank you, Lord, for making me whole, saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole, saving my soul. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Well, again, good morning.
Good morning.
Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And first of all, I thank the Lord for this opportunity to visit you again. And thank you, Pastor, for giving me a chance to share the Word of God this morning. And I don't take it lightly. They said that if you were invited to a church once, it's a privilege. Amen? It's a privilege, always a privilege. And if they would give you or invited you for the next time or for the second time, it will be a miracle. Amen. So this is a miracle this morning. Amen. All right. I would like you to open your Bible in the book of Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. And this is a familiar verse of the scripture. And I just want to be an encouragement to you this morning. And I thank the Lord for this church. Amen. Amen. 51 years. Man, I wasn't even born that time. And there are pioneering members here that's still here. Right? Praise the Lord. Amen. And to God be all the glory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I would like you to open your Bible in Jeremiah chapter 29. We'll start our reading in verse 10 down through verse 14. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10 down through verse 14. If you were able to stand, please stand with me by the reading of God's word. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10 down through verse 14. This is what the Bible says in verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. Verse 11, very familiar verse. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Verse 14, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captives. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning, humbling our hearts, Lord God. We recognize, we acknowledge that without you we can do nothing. Lord, I pray that this morning your sweet Holy Spirit will move in our hearts, Lord God. And I pray, dear God, that everything that will be said and done in this pulpit will give glory into your name. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness, for your greatness, for your goodness in our lives. We pray all these things in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. And again, thank you for this opportunity, Pastor. Amen. And thank you, Church, for supporting me, for supporting our ministry in the Philippines. It's been 10 years since I came here. 2013, when I first visited this church, I shared this morning. And when I first came here, I'm single. Amen. And I'm skinny. And I'm single. And I'm happy. Amen. Now I got married already, praise the Lord, and I have two boys, Nathan and Andrew. And Nathan is 7 years old now, and Andrew is he's 5 years old. And he's turning 6 on August 29. So, and I'm trying to go home before that, amen? Amen. When I left March 1, they asked me, that, especially Andrew, the 5-year-old, asked me, that. How long will you begin? And I told him that just 100 days. You know, I just did that for a joke. But he took it seriously. And whenever I called, 80 more days, Daddy. And I'm laughing. But sometimes, you know, when I called, when he's like 70 more days, Daddy, it breaks my heart personally, you know. And I could see the boys missing his daddy so much now. Because, like, every day, I'm just trying to, Pastor, I'm nervous, that's why. every day, I drop them up to school, and then 4 p.m., I pick them up, and then we go home, something like that. Those are our schedules now. My wife's there. She's doing that alone. Plus, she's teaching also in our Christian school, so They need their daddy back so bad. So y'all please pray for me. I have 5 more Sundays, including this Sunday. After this, 4 more Sundays, and I'm going back home, and I'm so excited. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I would like to give a title on our message this morning. God has a great plans for us. And God has a great plans for us. Do you believe on that?
Amen.
That God has a great plans for us. Amen. And I want that title, I encourage you to make that personal by saying, God has a great plans for me. Can you do that? God has a great plans for me. Amen. God has a great plans for us. If we're going to study the history of Israelites, the Israel people, we will find that their journey is always in a cycle. Always. You read your book in the book of Genesis, throughout the Revelation, you'll find that their journey is always in a cycle. First, you always find them in ruin. Yep. You'll be surprised. These people, you always find them in ruin. Ruined because of unbelief, idolatry, disobedience, and they sinned against God. That's why the nation of Israel, Jerusalem, was in ruin. That's the first cycle. Then God would send a judge, a prophet, or a preacher to preach for revival. So ruin, revival. And people will get right with God, repentance towards God, obedience towards God, and people will get right with God. So ruin, revival, they get right with God. Amen. And when they get right with God, restoration will comes back. They back on serving God again, and God will restore the nation one more time. So ruin, revival, they get right with God, and God will restore the nation. But after restoration, what dawned on me is they go back into ruin again. So that's the cycle of Israel. How many times was Israel captured in the Bible? During its long history, Jerusalem has been destroyed twice. I mean, they burned the city down. Amen. Israel had been fought over 16 times in its history. Besieged 23 times, attacked 52 times, captured and recaptured 44 times. You imagine that? It goes on and on and on and on. And on and on and on and on. What questioned me is, why did God allow things like this to happen? Remember, these are God's people. God's anointed people. God's chosen people. Why? Maybe for the first time, God would give them a second chance. Amen? Because God is the God of second chances. We sing that a lot. And actually, that's one of our favorite songs. You know, because that's sometimes our excuse. Oh, God will give me a second chance. For the first time, God will give them a second chance. For the second time, maybe God will extend His grace and mercy towards them. Because God is rich in mercy and His grace. Amen. But it goes on and on and on and on. And I wonder why. And in these verses, I found the answer why. It's because I believe God has a great plans for them. Amen. God could have said, you're done. You're enough. It's enough. God could have said that. But God kept on restoring the nation because He has a great plans for them. Amen. It's similar in our situation today. We make plans, we hopes and dreams. Unfortunately, many times those plans go astray. And our hopes becomes dreary. Things don't always work out like we want or plan for. Amen. In the Philippines, we plan for 2020, especially in our main church in Tarlac City. We're so excited in 2020. We have this vision, what we call 2020 vision. That means 50 Bible-believing Baptist churches by the year 2020. We started that 2002. And then we've been working for that. You know, we're training our people. We put a Bible college, Bible school. We train our young people. And then we send them out. And our time frame is 2020. And you know what? We didn't even reach 2020. 2016, we have 50 churches.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And in 2016, we doubled that vision. It's no longer 50 churches. It's 100 churches. By the year 2020 and the end of 2020, we have 72 churches started already. We didn't reach 100, but God gave us 72 churches. Amen. And we are so excited on that. And 2020, we are planning. 2020 is supposed to be a year of celebration for us. Amen. Because we will do a like an anniversary special for these 72 churches that we build. Amen. Supposed to be a year of celebration. But it became a year of devastation. You all know what happened in 2020. In the Philippines, we're just starting 2020, January 12th, we have this big volcano eruption that almost wiped out two cities. And we're just trying to recover from that volcano eruption, COVID hits. And you all know the rest of the story. Because of that COVID, you know, economical decline, people lost their home, lost their jobs, you know, they cannot go out, people got hungry. And you know what, in the Philippines, the crime rate went up during the COVID. Because they've been stealing everything, you know. So that's what happened in 2020 in the Philippines. It's supposed to be a year of celebration. That's our plan. But it became a year of devastation. Super typhoon came July 2020. It could have come 2019. But it came 2020. And because of that super typhoon, severe flooding all over the Philippines. Amen. It's supposed to be a year of celebration. That's our plan. That's what we're looking for. But it became a year of devastation. It's supposed to be a year of rejoicing. But it became a year of mourning. We lost loved ones. We lost dreams. We lost vision. Amen. I lost my dad during the COVID time. I lost my pastor in the main church. Two more other pastors and two pastors' wives. I'm just talking about the pastors. Amen. But we lost a lot of people in the church. Supposed to be a year of rejoicing. It became a year of mourning. Supposed to be a year of realization. But it became a year of regulation. We're supposed to be realizing those visions that God gave us. It's just not just 50, but 72 churches. But it became a year of regulation. Things don't always work out like we want or plan for. But always remember, God has a great plan for us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. In this passage, we read a group of people in the land of evil, persecution, and unhappiness. They got there through their own fault, their own mistake. And now God is telling them, you're going to be there for a while. You might as well get used to it. But in all of this, God says, but in all of this, He assured them that even though things might look bad for them now, and they needed to learn from their evil choices, His ultimate plans for them were great. Amen. And that's what we need to see today. No matter how hard situation of life we're in today, God has always good plans and prospect for us. Amen? God has a great plans for our lives. Now let us notice three things here in these passages that will help us see God's plan in our lives. Number one, I would like it to look on verse 10 in number one. God has a specific period. Amen? Always remember that. God has a specific period. Look in verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, the Bible says, that after 70 years be accomplished. Look at that phrase. After 70 years be accomplished. Amen? God has a specific period. That means God has a specific period in everything. It will not be forever. Amen. These people have been there for almost 70 years. And God said, after 70 years be accomplished. Amen. It will not be forever. God has a specific period. God said, again. Amen. God has a specific period in everything. God always has a limit on how much we'll endure and for how long. God knows how much we can carry. God is in control. God knows what He's doing. Amen. God has a specific period in everything. Maybe you are here today almost in the verge of giving up. My friend, just hang on for a while because God has a great plans for you. Amen. Maybe you are here today getting ready to quit because nothing is happening in your life, in your career. It's tough. You're tired. I'm exhausted. My friend, don't give up because God has a great plan for you. Always remember this. Whatever you're going through right now is definitely where God wants you to be. Amen. Why? Because He makes no mistake.
Amen.
Amen. He makes no mistake. Amen. God will never leave us. God will never lead us into a place where His grace cannot reach us. Amen for that. God expects us to learn from our experiences. Always remember, God has a specific period in everything. Amen. Not only a specific period, but a spiritual promises. In verse 11, look what the Bible says. Number 2, is spiritual promises. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. In verse 11, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Amen. That's what God promised us here. An expected end. God's plan is to give you a hope and a future. While you're waiting for God's plan in your life, He will give you hope and a future. To hope in something or someone means that I live in expectation that something I desire or long for will happen. Amen. To hope means I trust that there is something more than I can see, touch, or feel. That's hope. Thank God for hope. To hope means I don't give up even when I can't see what's ahead. Amen. To have hope results in the belief that my life is not worthless. Because God put us here on earth to become worthwhile. God is working in our lives. Just keep working for God. Amen. Just be faithful. Amen. Don't quit. Never give up. Just keep on going. Our hope is in the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. Our hope is in the Lord. Not only an expected end, but a listening God. Look what God promised us here. A listening God. In verse 12, the Bible says, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will, what? Hearken unto you. Praise God. No matter how hard life may be, or how bad situation is, we can always come to God in prayer, and He's always listening to us. Amen?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad today that my God is listening to me. He knows my heart. He knows my needs. Amen? He knows all my burdens and all my sorrows. Oh, I'm glad that my God is listening to me when no one will. He's listening to me. You know what frustrating me in my travel in the United States this time? It's not the thousands of miles I travel every weekend. After this, I'm going to Suffolk, Virginia. It's about 2 hours away from here. Then after the service, I'll drive back to Marietta, Ohio. It's about 8 hours, almost 8 hours. Tonight, I'll be there 7, 8 a.m. in the morning. I'll just get ready. And then I'll be driving to Illinois. Illinois, stop by, then going to Wisconsin on Sunday. So that's my schedule. Amen. It's not the thousands of miles. I'm getting used to it. Amen. Praise God. It's not even the sleepless night that sometimes I have to stop to the rest area or gasoline station to take a good nap. Amen. You know what's frustrating me? It is when I share my vision and no one is listening. But thank God that even though I don't open my mouth, He's listening to me.
Amen.
Because He knows what's in here.
Amen.
He knows my heart. Amen. And that's the God we serve.
Amen.
He's listening to us. Amen. Not only a listening God, but a restoration of what was lost. In verse 14, Babylon was destroyed, but God promised to restore it. We may have lost something or someone today. God promised to restore it. You know, I lost my dad and my pastor during the COVID. My pastor, where I grew up with, trained me on what I am doing right now in the ministry. My dad is like this to me. I raised fund for the church building, and he built it for free because he is a contractor, and he built it for free. That's the contribution he has in the ministry. He said, I cannot go door knockings, I cannot go visitation, but I can build those churches for you for free. That's my dad. I lost him during, and I missed him. Every time I have project going on, I missed him, but I will see him again.
Amen.
Amen. The restoration of what was lost. Someone said there's always a rainbow after the storm. Amen. Rainbow is God's way of reminding of His promises to us. And lastly, not only the specific period and spiritual promises, but a special place. What kind of places? In verse 14, the Bible says, a place of salvation. Look what the Bible says, and I will deliver you. Delivered means, salvation means deliverance. These people were scattered abroad. They were in the bondage of sin and suffering. God said, I will gather you again and deliver you from a place whence I promise you. Amen? A special place, a place of salvation. God delivered us from sin into salvation. Amen?
Amen.
And this, God is promising them that He will restore the nation again. Not only a place of salvation, but a place of security. Amen. Not only He will deliver us, but He's also going to protect us and secure us. That's the beauty of the God that we serve. Amen. Not only is going to save you, but He's going to protect and secure you. A place of security. No one can pluck us out from the hands of God. Amen?
Amen.
If God is before us, who can be against us? Amen?
Amen.
God will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. And that's enough verse to tell you that my God is going to secure you and to protect you. Amen. A place of security. That is what God promising us in these verses. You ever heard about the providential will of God? Yeah? Providential will of God. This is God's guidance ahead of us. That's His providential will. God's guidance ahead of us. Amen. Back in April, I have a meeting in Iowa. It's about almost 13 hours from Marietta, Ohio. So I woke up 4 a.m. in the morning, get dressed up, pack up my stuff, and then I started driving 5:30 a.m. Started driving, and I passed by Indianapolis around 2 in the afternoon. I'm so hungry, amen. I stopped by at Wendy's, and I'm tired of McDonald's, you know, so. Like, oh, I'll try a different one. So I stopped by at Wendy's. I got that big baconator and curly fries and a large sweet tea. Praise God. So I started eating, and then I was surprised. It's all gone. And my belly's full, and I started driving again. I put my car in cruise control, 70. And after 15 minutes of driving, I fell asleep. And my car is on 70. And thank God for the rumble strip. Amen. When I hit those rumble strips, like, I was shocked, and still I couldn't control the car, so I went off the highway and I didn't hit anything. Praise God. But you know, we get tired, we're just human, you know, and I'm so discouraged, and I called my wife because I thought about my kids, my wife back in the Philippines. I told her that it's not working, get me the nearest ticket that I can get, and I'm going back home. I'm not gonna finish this journey anymore. And my wife, thank God for a godly wife, encouraged me, prayed for me, and I still insist, get me the nearest ticket. And he said, Dad, I cannot do that because first, I don't have money to do that. So it's impossible. Okay, I said, okay, yeah, I understand. But anyhow, so she encouraged me, and finally we prayed, and I said, okay, just one more month, two more months. And I started to pull my car, Pastor, drive to the interstate again. And finally got to the interstate, started driving again. After 25 minutes on the interstate, there was a semi-truck hit a trailer and six more cars on the back of the trailer. And while I was driving, I said, I could be one of those. But God made me sleep to spare me from that accident. That's the providential will of God.
Amen.
Amen. God not only going to save you, but is going to protect you.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes there are things that we don't understand, but God's hand is there working in us. Amen. And that's His providential will in our lives. Amen. Not only a place of security, but a place of serenity. Serenity is the state of being calm, peaceful, and untroubled. He will give you peace, and He'll take all your troubles away, casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Amen. Yes, though life may become dreary, the time seems long, and we wonder how much longer we live in our situation. Remember, God has ultimate good plans and prospect for us. Just be faithful and wait for God's perfect timing. Amen. Romans 8:28 and Philippians 1:6, and I'm done. Romans 8:28, very familiar verse. Romans 8:28, the Bible says, that all things work together for good. Amen. Romans 8:28. But in Philippians 1:6, it's very interesting. The Bible says that all things work together for good. In Philippians 1:6, and He who began that good work in us will perform it until the end.
Amen.
Amen. All things work together for good. And He who began that good work in us will perform it until the end. That means you have God from the beginning all the way to the end. In between, we just need to be faithful. Amen. Why are you afraid? You have God from the beginning all the way to the end. You just be faithful. Amen. Stay true to God. Amen. To God be the glory. Thank you so much, Pastor.
Amen.
God bless you all.